Hello, welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Rav Danny Eisenberg, and today I want to talk about an interesting statement by Chazal, where they talk about Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Simcha. When the month of Adar enters, we increase in joy. Now, I've always found this statement quite perplexing because, as we know, we have a parallel statement in Chazal, Mishenichnas Av Mematzim Simcha. When you enter the month of Av, so we reduce in Simcha. So I understand, practically speaking, what you're supposed to do in the month of Av. So we have various halachot that are actually very practical halachot, that you're not supposed to do a binyan shel simcha, you're not supposed to build a construct, some sort of structure which is associated with simcha, something to do with weddings, for example. You're not supposed to plant a netiyah shel simcha. They used to plant special plants for weddings. We don't do those various practices, and this has been expanded through our various minhagim, that Ashkenazim don't have drink wine or eat meat during the 9 days. So these are all expressions of this concept of Mishenichnas Adar Mematzim Simcha. However, there is no clear direction in the parallel when it comes to the month of Adar. Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. How do you increase in joy? What do you do? What does that involve? So I actually had an insight in this area, and I wanted to share this with you today. So the month of Adar, as we know, when we celebrate Purim, it's not just coincidental that it falls, that the story of Purim, the celebration of Purim, happens just before Pesach. In fact, we've seen the Gemara, Gemara Megillah, when it discusses what you do in a leap year, when you've got two Adars, which Adar do you celebrate Purim in? You've got Adar Aleph and Adar Bet. So the Gemara brings a machloket about it. One of you says, no, you do Adar Aleph just like every other year. You know, you do it that far into the year, so too, even on a leap year. But then there's the other view, which is the view we pass on the halacha, is that, no, we do it in Adar Bet, and the reason being that in order that we should juxtapose the redemption of Purim to the redemption of Pesach. Now, okay, I understand there was a delivery in both instances. Pesach we were delivered from slavery, Purim we were delivered from the threat of annihilation. But nevertheless, there's a significant difference between the two festivals. And is it just because they both happen to be Geulas that we put them together? So it's suggested, in fact, that there is really a very common thread that joins together the festivals of Purim and Pesach, and that is the element of the centrality of the nation of Am Yisrael. So Pesach, as we know, is the festival that commemorates the creation of the Jewish nation. This is when we became a people. Before that, we were just a tribe of slaves amongst the Egyptian nation, and at this point in time, we became an independent people. Now, what about Purim? Where does Purim fit into this whole dynamic? Well, as Purim takes place during the exile after the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, Jewish people are exiled to Babylon and from there to other places. At this point in time, we're coming close to the end of the 70 years which have been prophesied that the exile would last. And at this point in time, the Persian Empire is in control. And Haman, when he's describing the Jewish people to Ahasuerus, he describes them as an Amafuz Arma Farad Ben Hamim, Asher Mechom Zidot Mechutecha. They are a nation which is scattered and dispersed amongst the peoples throughout the nations of your kingdom. So what we see here is a description of the fact that the Jewish people are not unified. They are essentially assimilating. They are giving up on the future of the Jewish people and of the future of the Jewish dream, and they are ready to disappear into oblivion. And it's at this point in time that Haman comes and arises and seeks to destroy the Jewish people. This really is a big kick in the pants of the Jewish people. Wake them up, one second here. You're not going to disappear quietly. You're going to disappear with a destructive bang. At this point in time, Mordechai approaches Esther and he says to her, you have to do something. You have to tell Ahasuerus, get him to stop the decree. So she's resistant at first, but then in the end, She agrees with him. She tells Mordechai, Lech knos et kol ha-yodim, you should go gather all the Jews together, and they should fast for me, and they should daven for me, and then I'll go into Achashverosh, and whatever happens, happens. Even though I have not been invited, and I could bring upon myself a death sentence, nevertheless, I will do what has to be done. And we know that at this point in time, once Esther goes into Achashverosh, this totally turns upside down the entire story of what had happened until now. And in the end, it results in, whereas Haman plans to destroy Mordechai and the Jews, in the end, Haman himself is hanged on the very gallows he planned for Mordechai, and the enemies of the Jews are defeated and destroyed, and not the Jews. So what actually creates the turnaround here is the fact that the Jewish people who had previously been scattered all suddenly come together, and they turn to Hashem in a unified fashion. And interestingly, as Chazal pointed on the Gemara, this precedes the establishment of the Second Commonwealth, when the Jews return to the land of Israel, or at least a significant portion of them, in order to build the Second Temple. So, if Pesach represents the actual birth of the Jewish people, Purim represents a process whereby the Jewish people have reached a stage where they are disintegrating and facing extinction, and they suddenly turn it around in order to create the beginnings of nationhood that will precipitate the redemption and the return to the land of Israel. So because this theme of nationhood is also very central by Purim, it's no coincidence that we find that our mitzvot of Purim are also revolve around this idea. So for example, we have the mitzvah of Mishloach Manot Ish L'Re'ehu, giving gifts to each other, and thereby creating bonds of friendship and concern and unity for each other. We have Matanot Levyonim, gifts to the poor, gifts of charity to the poor. This is looking out for the needs of others. We have Sudat Purim, where we gather together to feast and celebrate the miracle of Purim. And Mikra Megillah, where we have a public Megillah reading. So essentially, this concept of creating the bonds of nationhood, creating a fraternity, creating common solidarity, this is a central idea of Purim, and it leads us towards the festival of Pesach. Okay, so now let's come back to our original question, which was, Mishinichnas Adar Marvim B'Simcha, what does it mean that when an Adar enters, we increase in Simcha? Well, actually, I was having an interesting discussion with a boy in year 7, 12-year-old or so, who we were discussing the concept of happiness in light of the month of Adar. What brings happiness? And he actually said something that quite surprised me. I wasn't expecting his response, but he said he feels happy when he does nice things for other people. That's what brings him happiness. And this is really a very mature response, because you don't normally expect that kind of thing from children. I was quite taken by that. And actually, for me, this gave me an insight into this very question that we're asking: what does it mean? How do you increase in happiness? So, according to this model that this boy Danny was saying, what he's essentially saying is that you increase in happiness by bringing happiness to other people, and in so doing, this very concept of increasing happiness fits very soundly into the general themes of Purim, where we are trying to create bonds between the Jewish people. That real happiness is achieved when you bring happiness to other people, and therefore happiness and nationhood go hand in hand with each other. This idea of increasing in happiness, how are we supposed to seek it out? By thinking about others, by doing things for others, and that will bring us towards Purim, that will bring us towards the festival of building up, rekindling the concept of Jewish nationhood, which will lead us into the festival of Pesach, where we will actually experience the rebirth of Jewish nationhood, where every person who wishes to be connected to the Jewish people connects. And that way, we create a new generation of Jewish people. So thank you for joining us, and we should be able to take this message on board, that we should be able to help other people, make other people happy, thereby making ourselves happy as well. But ultimately, the idea behind this is that through this process of happiness, of achieving happiness, we will create stronger bonds for the Jewish people. We will create a situation where the Jewish people will be strong, in our identity, strong in our integrity as a nation, not separate, not disparate, not each person seeking their own individual welfare, but rather that we will operate on a national, united national front. Wishing you all Shabbat Shalom and a Purim Sameach.